Looks like that guy's gonna clear.
Do what?
Looks like this guy's gonna clear.
Oh, good for you.
The Demon Glove yesterday was 5, now it's 10.
Oh boy.
His pro time was like 3 yesterday, now it's 1.
Every now and then that hospital service will surprise you, won't it?
Exactly.
All right, good morning, everyone. I believe we are ready to start. I know there's some challenges on I-40 this morning, so glad you all got here, and maybe there'll be some others joining us shortly. This is the welcome to the Acute Care Services Committee meeting. This is our second one of the season. This is a, let me remind you, a business meeting that's open to the public, but this is not a public hearing. So the discussion, for the most part, will be limited to members of the Acute Care Committee, unless somebody here asks for some clarification or asks for information from someone in the audience. So what we will be doing today is reviewing the materials for the 4 chapters of the state plan that we're responsible for, and then these will be finalized in terms of the recommendations that will go to the SHIC at our June 3rd meeting. So today we're going to look at the draft need projections for acute care beds, operating rooms, other acute care services, and inpatient rehab beds. Using the fiscal year 2013-2014 data, we're also going to be looking at the comparison of the hospital license renewal data and the proven analytics data. So after the SHIC meeting on June 3rd, then there will be a proposed 2016 medical facilities plan that will be made available for public review. And then, as we always do in July, there will be a series of public hearings on that plan that will be held around the state. The dates and the locations of those hearings are already fixed. They're on page 13 of the 2015 plan. Also during July and August, we will be accepting petitions and comments on the proposed 2016 plan, and the deadlines for those petitions and comments are also listed on page 13 of the 2015 plan. So let me stop for a moment and let's do some introductions. I'd like to ask members of the committee to introduce themselves so the public knows who you are and who you represent. I ask you to be as brief as possible. I'm Sandra Green, and I am a representative at large, and I'm on the faculty at UNC Chapel Hill in the Gilling School of Global Public Health. And we'll go around to the right here.
Robert McBride, I'm an at-large member. I'm president of Ortho Carolina in Charlotte, North Carolina, and practicing orthopedic surgeon.
I'm Mark Ellis. I'm an anesthesiologist from the Charlotte Concord area and practice there, and also an at-large member.
Christina on the phone, could you introduce yourself, please?
Certainly. Christina Apperson. I'm an attorney in Raleigh, and I'm an at-large member.
Thank you, Christina. Ken?
Hi, this is Ken Lewis. I'm the Executive Director of the North Carolina Association of Health Plans, and I'm the insurance industry representative.
Thank you very much. And is there someone else on the phone?
Yeah, I'm on the phone. This is Donnie Lambeth, and I represent the North Carolina House, and I'm from Forsyth County.
Donnie, thank you for being with us. Appreciate it.
Glad I could be here.
And let's introduce staff, starting with Amy.
Amy Craddock, planner.
Greg Jakubowski, Assistant Chief of Planning.
Martha Prezzoni, Assistant Chief, CON.
Fatima Wilson, Team Leader, CON.
Lisa Pittman, Team Leader, CON.
Bethany Bergen, Attorney General's Office.
Kimberly Fisk, Administrative Assistant.
Tom Dixon, Committee Base Manager.
Paige Bennett, Planner.
Thank you all very much. Appreciate that. So, before conducting any business, we need to review Executive Orders number 46. It is called Reauthorizing the State Health Coordinating Council, issued May 4th, 2014. We have certain procedures to observe before taking any action. I remind all members it's your duty to always act in the best interest of the public without regard to your own professional, institutional, or financial interests. You should recuse yourself from voting on any matter in which you cannot meet its standards. Members of the SHIP are expected to and should confer with DHHS on any matters that come before them in the development of the plan. No member of the SHIP, however, may confer with any DHHS employee regarding any proposed provision of the plan or any proposed or pending certificate of need application in which the member has a direct, conflicting professional, institutional, or financial interest, except in public meetings conducted by DHHS or the SHIP. Excuse me. The ethical standards for the SHIP require that each member disclose any professional or institutional interest he or she may have in any matter coming before the Acute Care Services Committee. The chair will determine if the member needs to remove himself or herself from voting. The ethical standards also require each member to disclose any financial benefit he or she may derive from any matter coming before this committee. In the event such a benefit from a matter, the member shall recuse himself or herself from voting on the matter. The term financial benefit is defined in Executive Order Number 46, which each of the members has reviewed. All of the members have completed disclosure sheets describing various interests and associations that they feel should be disclosed. Those sheets are available for review by the public. I will now pause for a moment to allow the members to review the matters on the agenda to make these determinations. Are there any members of the Acute Care Services Committee who desire to recuse themselves from voting on any matter on the agenda today? Okay. I would also remind that if any items of business come before the Acute Care Services Committee today that are not on the agenda, the disclosure requirements apply. In addition, if in the course of deliberations an interest or benefit becomes apparent that you have not previously disclosed, you should advise the chair before the Acute Care Services Committee takes action on that matter. Okay, and now moving on to our minutes from April 7th meeting. I hope you've had a chance to review those. I would entertain a motion for approval.
Motion for approval of minutes.
Second.
Is there any discussion? All those in favor of approving the minutes as is, please say aye.
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 Thank you. Okay, so our first order of business has to do with Chapter 5, and it has to do with the licensure Truven data comparison. And let me remind those of you who are a little bit newer what this is all about. Once a year, hospitals are required through the license renewal process to fill out forms that, and they have to give numbers, lots of numbers, and in this case, the numbers of acute care days of service provided by their hospital. The Truven data is generated by copies of the UB92, UB04 claim forms that are sent to Truven. So for every discharge, there's a copy of that Truven form that verifies that discharge actually occurs. So theoretically, these numbers from these two different sources should jive or should come fairly close. When they don't, that may trigger a question of whether one of the two numbers is wrong, and we don't know which one is wrong until the hospital really looks into it. So this is the process we go through each year at this point in time to compare these two numbers for the hospitals. And we identify hospitals where there's more than a 5% variance between the two. So Amy, you want to go over what we have?
Also to note is that this information about Truven, this current information as well as the information that we get later in year is not part of the state medical facilities plan, but we do present it to you for your information. There are currently 23 facilities on the list who at this point have more than a 5% discrepancy between their license renewal application days of care, acute days of care, and the Truven days of care. We will very soon after this meeting be working closely with the North Carolina Hospital Association to notify facilities and request that they correct their data with the agency and or with Truven. And I will prepare and present an updated discrepancy report at the September 8th Acute Care Services Committee meeting after we receive what we refer to as the refreshed proven data and after any corrections have been submitted to the agency. I can say there were about the same number of hospitals on this preliminary report last year as this year. But that's the information about the data discrepancy.
And let me comment that what I look at when I look at this list each year is to see if any of these are in communities, healthcare services areas where that are generating bed need. And if they are, then we pay particular attention because we don't want to generate bed need based on false data. But my preliminary review of this particular list is there's no hospital on here where that's the issue. We still want correct data, obviously, but it has lesser of an impact on what we're doing. Okay, so we'll go into Chapter 5 and we'll look at Table 5A and the need projections. And Amy, you want to lead us through?
I can do that. Table 5A shows the inventory along with the bed surplus and deficit numbers for acute care beds. I should point out one thing. Davie Medical Center in Davie Hospital, we were not able to obtain acute days of care data for them. I actually talked to the hospital yesterday, but we will be resolving that information. But Davie Medical Center does not have data in this table right now. For 2016, one county has a bed need determination at this point, and that bed need determination is shown in Table 5B. Orange County has a need for 84 beds. And it is always important that we point out that when refreshed proven data is received later in the year, these need determinations may change with data changes, as Dr. Green alluded to.
Yeah, just another comment on that. What happens is with these 20-some hospitals that have discrepancies, the letter will go out in the next few days. They will have an opportunity to revise their data to Truven, and I think they'll have about 5 weeks to 5 or 6 weeks to make those corrections. And then it goes through a whole refresh process with Truven, who sends a new set of data to the Chef Center early August, and then they will refresh all the data that comes back to Amy and her group, and then we will rerun these again. My guess is at this moment, based on the potential areas I'm seeing, I don't think we're going to see anything different in August than we see right now. But we don't know until we know. So is this where we'd like to talk about?
Yes, or I could just complete Table 5C if you want to.
That's good. That's
okay. Table 5C is an inventory of long-term care hospital beds. There were a total of 421 beds as in long-term care hospitals this year. As of 2005, there is no longer a need determination associated with these facilities, but we do present this information in the state medical facilities plan for information and for reference. So that concludes the presentation on the specific data for Chapter 5.
So one other comment that I thought might be interesting to look at, as you know, at the SHIC meeting, primarily at the SHIC meeting, also in this committee meeting, we have been talking more in the last year or so about what impact is the Affordable Care Act going to have on our days of care, and therefore what impact on planning in the future. It's interesting now that we are seeing data from 2013 and 2014. I looked up the numbers again yesterday. If you recall, last year was the first year we really had sign-ups for the Affordable Care Act in North Carolina. We had, I believe, about 210,000 additional people with health insurance. The sign-ups for this year are about 560,000, so it's going to be really, again, interesting to see what utilization does this year. But looking at last year, and you have a couple slides that maybe you want to put up. You know, the concern was, oh, you get more and more people with health insurance and utilization is going to go up. And we're seeing the opposite. We're actually seeing, notice that utilization actually started declining with the recession in 2009, and we have continuing declines. And the 2014 data is showing about a 2.5% drop in days of care. Now, I haven't pulled the newest emergency room data because my suspicion is those numbers will have continued to go up. And this is what has been found in the Oregon experiment with Medicaid, putting a lot more people on Medicaid. The utilization in emergency rooms went up, but I don't think inpatient did. And this is what we're seeing is our inpatient utilization is continuing to go down. So fascinating to watch. It will become even more interesting a year from now. So that's the acute days of care. We did a couple other graphs. That's the next one. So this is the statewide days of care annual growth rate. So this line is zero. So we had growth from one year to the next in days of care in 2006, and we had positive growth in 2007 and then a little bit in 2008. Started the recession, we went to a negative rate of growth, and it has remained negative. We actually had a slight positive in 2013, but a negative in 2014. Those are the actual year-by-year rates of growth. And then I think you did one more. But for our methodology, you will remember that we pool 4 years of data. We do 4 years moving forward. So when you pool it together, our statewide four-year average growth rate multiplier back in 2009, the last time it was positive, was like a 1% rate of growth. But then in 2010, it turned negative, and it's been negative ever since. So we're seeing a decline in utilization. Because I can't stand not to look at the data, I have to. All right. Any questions on that and on Chapter 5? We're okay with what we've got.
This is Donnie Lambeth. A couple observations. Acute care continues to look at ways to be more efficient. And so length of stay in many of these hospitals continues to decline, and that certainly has an impact on census. And then, of course, the continued shift to outpatient services, technologies continue to impact shorter stays or even conversion of stays via the outpatient. I think it's a combination of factors that is a result of the data we're seeing.
Absolutely.
Not surprising. And, of course, the reimbursement markets continue to change and incentivize things to move more to the outpatient arena.
Absolutely, absolutely. There's a lot going on to encourage more use of outpatient services. Yep. Okay, so next, Chapter 6, operating rooms.
This table 6A presents the inventory of operating rooms in both hospitals and ambulatory surgery centers. And table 6B shows the projected operating room need for 2018. You received revised versions of those today. They have been posted on the website as of late yesterday afternoon. There was no change in the need determinations with that little revision. It was an anomaly in how the data was showing up in the reports. So we provided you with revised versions of those. Table 6C shows that there are currently 6 need determinations for operating rooms in the state. One in Brunswick County, one in Columbus County, 3 in New Hanover County, and 1 in Rowan County. We will continue to work with the data and verify things, and will be updated later this year for the final plan, and when it is, these needs may change. Table 6D is provided for information purposes. It is the inventory of single specialty ambulatory surgery demonstration project facilities. There are three facilities in the state. And Table 6E is provided also for information purposes. It is an inventory of endoscopy rooms. Endoscopy rooms are no longer part of the plan in terms of need determinations, but we do provide those for information. And let me back up one moment. I'm sorry, I forgot to say this. The single specialty ambulatory surgery project annual reports will be presented at our next meeting. I haven't received all of those yet.
Next meeting of the acute care services?
Next meeting of the acute care services committee.
Okay, great.
Any questions about the need determinations in Chapter 6 for operating rooms? So we have been showing a need for six in four different counties.
They tend to vote on each chapter, but I don't know whether it matters.
Okay. Let's do it at the end.
Yeah, that's
okay.
Fine.
All right, so let's move on to Chapter 7.
Chapter 7 is other acute care services, and the first information is Table 7A and an accompanying graph, which shows adult open heart surgery procedures. There is no need determination for these services for this year. Table 7C and its associated graph shows burn ICU services, and there may be a little bit of explanation needed here for the UNC hospitals. If you look at Table 7C, the second part of it, you'll see the percent utilization for 2013-2014 is above 100%. I verified that with the hospital. That is accurate information. It occurs because of the way the license renewal application asks the facility to report days of care for burn ICU patients. They use DRGs, the diagnosis-related groups, and some of those DRGs can refer to patients who would be burn patients, but they would be served in acute care beds. They would not necessarily be served in the burn ICU unit. So those numbers are correct. But there is no need determination also for those beds. A need determination is only calculated if the last 2 years utilization is above 80%, and it was not for the last 2 years. 7E, Table 7E, and its associated graph shows bone marrow transplants. There's also no need associated with that. No need determination associated with that. Table 7G is solid organ transplants, and also no need determination for that service.
Let me ask you, any questions about any of the tables in Chapter 7? I think it's pretty straightforward, except for that 110%. Okay, Chapter 8.
Chapter 8 is inpatient rehabilitation beds. Table 8A shows this inventory, and utilization is currently at 58%, which is unchanged from last year. And there is no need determination for inpatient rehabilitation beds. And that concludes all of the data presentation.
Okay. Any questions about Chapter 8? Okay. We do need to vote on accepting the data and the need projections for each of these chapters. And I think we can do it all, unless anybody objects, we'll do it in total for all four of our chapters. We'll do a motion to accept the data and the need projections. Is there a second?
Second.
Is there any discussion? All those in favor say aye.
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 Wonderful. And this is also giving staff authority to continue to make corrections and additions to these tables as they get data or they recognize that there is more updated information to add. But generally, this is the set of data that will go to the SHIC for the draft plan. And then, of course, these will be rerun at the end of the summer, and we'll see if there are any changes to put in the final plan. So, is there any other business that we need to take care of? This might be the shortest acute care services meeting on record. Have we failed to do anything?
I'm not aware of it.
Okay.
If we have.
All right. Well, if not, thank you all for coming, and thank you for the three of you being on the
motion for adjournment.
Oh, yes. Do I need a motion to adjourn? So, all those in favor of adjourning, say aye.
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 All right. Thank you all. See you in early
June. Thank you very
much.
Thank you.
Christina, feel better soon.
You're too kind.
Mr. Allison, very nice meeting you.
Yeah, nice to meet you. Yeah.
Nice to meet Dr. McBride.
Nice to meet you.
Very nice meeting you.
Yes. And,